This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. For decades, there's been a debate in Massachusetts about how many patients each nurse should be responsible for in a hospital. And now the Massachusetts Nurses Association wants to put the question on the ballot.
The union wants hospitals to put a limit on the number of patients nurses should care for at any one time. Now, that number may differ depending on the unit of the hospital. The nurses say doing this will mean a patient will get better care. The Massachusetts Hospital Association, though, has a different take. It says a patient will benefit if a hospital has the flexibility to assign staff based on what's needed at that time.
The Massachusetts Nurses Association has to collect 70,000 signatures to get the issue on next year's ballots. If the initiative passes next year, Mass would become the second state in the nation after California to legally require hospitals to set a minimum number of nurses for each patient.
Now, the key phrase in this debate is the nurse-to-patient ratio. And one of the nurses who's been at the forefront of the effort is with us right now in our Radio Boston studio. It's Donna Kelly Williams. She's president of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We are also happy to get the views of Sharon Gale. Sharon's the executive officer of the Organization of Nurse Leaders of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Hello, Sharon.
Hello there.
And joining us from California now is Jack Needleman. He is a professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of California, Los Angeles. Jack, you're in a key spot to inform this debate on the other coast in Massachusetts. Good to have you here.
Good to be here, Lisa.
Now, an essential ingredient in this discussion is our listeners. Now is the time for you, our listeners, to make your voices heard, because this is an issue that either has affected you or very well could, because let's face it, we are all potential hospital patients. So tell us what you think, and tell our guests what you think as well. Is it up to the state to set the requirements for the number of nurses that provide patient care? And if you have a chance to sign this ballot question, tell us why you would or maybe why you wouldn't. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And state your case as well on Facebook or on Twitter at Radio Boston. We're waiting to hear from you. Okay, for our two guests first, Donna and Sharon, hold on there in California, Jack. Listeners have a right to ask, I think, what is up with this debate? Haven't we been here before? And of course, the answer is yes, many times, but it's never been resolved. So the question for you, and Donna, let's start with you. What is happening in hospitals right now regarding how many patients each nurse cares for that makes you feel the state has to set things right? In other words, what's the problem that has to be fixed?
So I think, Lisa, we can start by saying, which most people are not aware of, is that there is no limit to the number of patients that can be assigned to a registered nurse at one time. So that means that any time that you're in the hospital, you could be sharing your nurse with a number of other patients that may exceed a safe limit to that number of other patients shared by that one nurse.
And is that happening?
Oh, it definitely is.
Give us kind of a standard example,
okay,
not an extreme.
A standard example of that is I have an opportunity to travel across the state and meet with nurses in many, many different hospitals, all the way from Cape Cod to North Adams. And what we're seeing is that there is has been an increase in the number of patients assigned to a registered nurse, and resources depleted, really, in their ability to be able to care for those patients. This, more than ever, is the number one issue that I hear from nurses across the state. Is that there needs to be a limit. They need to be able to care for their patients in the way that we have been trained as registered nurses to care for our patients, with the appropriate resources to be able to care for them in the very best way we were trained to do.
And Sharon, I want to hear from you in a second, but first, Donna, just tell us very briefly what this ballot is calling for.
This ballot is calling for a limit to the number of patients assigned to a registered nurse. It offers that flexibility that the Mass Hospital Association is concerned with not having by allowing for an acuity system that would actually increase the number of nurses and resources available to a patient as they need it. The limits would be set specifically to certain areas, so it is not a one-size-fits-all, but it is more targeted at certain areas.
Okay, Sharon. And why is it a bad idea, if you think it is, to mandate nurse staffing levels?
Well, although it sounds like a good idea on the surface, Lisa, you really, really need to look deeper. For instance, a ratio is merely a number and means nothing without considering everything about the care in a specific situation. We need to consider the team, the environment where care is delivered, the technologies available, but most important, we need to determine the experience and the skill level of each individual nurse.
Is that not accounted for under the ballot question that's being proposed?
Again, the ballot question really ties nurses' hands in many ways because they need to be the one that determines what kind of care is delivered in real time. Patient needs can change in a moment, and so staffing decisions need to be made there, and they need to be adjusted, and it may not be according to a set determined ratio.
Donna, what's your response to that?
My response is, most importantly, what this does is it sets a limit to the number of patients so that when the nurse has deemed it appropriate to respond to a crisis or an emergency arises, at least they have a foundation of staffing in place that they can build on in order to respond to that patient's needs. Right now, that's not the case.
Sharon, there are a lot of studies, and I'm sure you've seen them yourself, that show that more nurses mean better patient outcomes. The Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, found recently that when a nurse is assigned for more than four patients to take care of in a hospital, then the risk of death and failure to rescue, meaning, for example, to detect that somebody's vital signs may suddenly have gone out of whack, increases by 7%. That's 7% per patient. Do you agree with those figures or do you take issue with them?
Now, I would say that more of anything is better, and the more nurses that we have to care for patients, obviously the better. The issue at hand here, though, it's not a fixed number that's determined by some arbitrary legislator or ballot initiative. It really is up to the clinical decision-making of the nurses and care delivery members of the team making those assessments.
And what do they make the assessments on? I mean, if there's no magic number of how many nurses should be assigned to a particular patient, I mean, let's say a patient comes in to any hospital and it's a 30-year-old patient who needs to have a gallbladder removed as opposed to an 80-year-old patient who has just been in a bad car accident. Is there a magic number for either of those patients? And if so, would a hospital be able to respond if there were additional needs? I mean, could you respond on a dime? Donna, you having worked in hospitals as a nurse, why don't you respond first?
So first of all, I'd like to say by having that foundation in place, you then have the flexibility to be able to add the resources that you need. If you start out behind the eight ball with not enough staff to build on, you'll never catch up.
Well, is that the case necessarily right now, though?
It is the case right now, and that's why it's so important that we have a law in place that prevents that from happening.
Okay. And Sharon, what's your response to that?
Well, Lisa, I think your example was just spot on. It's exactly true. Because that can happen at any time, it's a change of shift or during a shift, a patient can have a cardiac arrest, and then resources will need to be directed at that patient while other arrangements are made to care for the rest of the patients on that unit. So, again, in real time, those numbers are going to alter. So you can't really say across the shift that there's always five patients or four patients for each nurse.
Okay, but would they be able to, and actually, Donna, you can follow up if you want, but would they be able to really respond so quickly in reality in the crush of the situation? Does that happen?
Yes, I've been a nurse for over 40 years, and I've spent decades working on nurse staffing, assigning the right patients to the right units with the right nurses taking care of them. And it's most effective where nurses are working together to make those assessments and ship the care to the patients that need it and to call additional resources. And hospitals have all kinds of resources like rapid response teams that can deal with those issues, again, and turn on a dime.
Donna, that sounds pretty convincing.
Well, Sharon, I, like you, have been a nurse almost for 40 years, but the difference is that I actually work at the bedside. I am a staff nurse. I take care of the patient on the front line. And what I am seeing is that we do not have enough nurses in place to be able to properly respond and get the additional resources needed to care for patients when the crisis does happen.
Okay, Jack Needleman, we're going to go with you in just a second. First, we want to take a couple of calls from listeners. Jackie, you're calling in from downtown Boston. Welcome to Radio Boston. Just tell us briefly what's on your mind.
I just wanted to reinforce as well that I think partnering with clinical nurses and really relying on them to help inform our judgments, a patient is not a patient is not a patient, a nurse is not a nurse. And as Sharon has indicated, the needs of patients are very dynamic and changing, and so we do rely on contingency plans like FOPUs, rapid response teams. There are times we have patients that require two nurses in an ICU setting, not just one. And without that flexibility and support, we don't want to get to a place where a static limit can quickly become a static number that people think is the magic number.
Okay, Jackie,
we want to make sure that we leave the judgment to the nurse.
Sounds like you work in a hospital, Jackie?
I do.
Okay, Donna? What's your response?
I just would like to respond to that. The reference especially made to the intensive care unit and referencing the bill, it calls for a one nurse to one patient assignment for the intensive care unit, and that can be altered with an acuity system if that patient warrants two nurses to care for that patient. So there is an acuity system in place in this bill that allows to increase the number of nurses at the bedside.
Another phone call, this one from Kate from Worcester, Massachusetts. Kate, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm actually a public school teacher, but I support the nurses 100%. Like what the nurses go through in the classroom, people sometimes, administrators think that size, you know, of the people you're servicing doesn't matter, but it does. I mean, it's a fact, and nurses can vouch for this as teachers can, anybody dealing with someone who you're attending to. If you have many in front of you, you can't possibly care for them all the same way. And so I think it is a great thing for the nurses to have a limit. And for those who are arguing, oh, we need the flexibility, you know, if organizations could do right by their staff, meaning teachers, nurses, whatever, you wouldn't have the need for these types of bills. But let's be honest. I mean, nurses are getting abused. I'm not even working in the hospital, and I know this.
Okay, thank you. That was Kate once again, who's a public school teacher. And one more call from Susan from Hull, Massachusetts.
Hello. I'm calling because I'm a nurse in the hospital, and I go to work every night, and very often I do not have the resources I need to take care of my patients. The hospital has had many years of flexibility, and I'm a nurse at the bedside. I know what my patients need, and I know that they need safe nurse-to-patient ratios.
Okay, Sharon, we're hearing from nurses who are on the floor. Not all are in agreement with the Mass Nurses Association proposal, but what do you say to some of those complaints that among the nurses who say they are just simply overworked and that the patients are paying for that?
Well, first of all, I've told Donna and her colleagues that as a member of the Organization of Nurse Leaders, I am committed to follow up on any kind of complaint where that happens, because our members are nurse leaders throughout the state. I will tell you, too, that 80% of nurses in the state do not belong to unions, and other nursing organizations strongly disagree that a fixed number is the right way to plan care.
Okay, we want to get the experience. Donna, hold that thought.
Thank
I can
you.
Tell you wanted to respond. But I want to bring in here Jack Needleman, who's been patiently waiting, I hope, Jack, in California.
Yes.
Thank you. At the University of California, Los Angeles. Jack, you are, as we said, well situated to weigh in on this. You used to live in the Boston area. You are now in a key state, in fact, the only state that has taken on this one particular issue of nurse-to-patient ratio head on. Tell us the experience of Californians.
Okay. So I've actually done an extensive amount of experience research looking at nurse staffing in hospitals and how it relates to patient safety and quality of care. And there's no question that hospitals that have too little staffing, the patient experience is poorer, the safety and reliability of care is lower. So the goals that both of your guests have said about assuring adequate staffing are spot on. And absolutely necessary. The mechanism that California adopted was to adopt fixed minimum ratios, and those were initially in the law. They were subsequently stripped from the law, but were adopted through regulation. So there's some regulatory flexibility to adjust those over time, although they haven't. The experience with the implementation of that law and regulation in California has been that the hospitals that were low-staffed have definitely brought their staffing up, and that has clearly happened. The range of staffing and the amount of hospitals that seem to have low staffing have gone down substantially. The hospitals seem to have been able to accommodate that within the current financing arrangements and current payment systems. The evidence on its impact on quality has been mixed. The hospitals that had low staffing that have brought it up have on the very limited number of measures that have been looked at by researchers have clearly had improvements. But this has been an era in which hospitals of all kinds have been under pressure to improve their quality. And we've also seen quality improvements in the hospitals that started out at high staffing and didn't increase their staffing that much.
You know what? I need you to kind of cut through the thick of this for us, if you can, Jack. I mean, what the bottom line in the California experience, it sounds like you're saying it's mixed, but can you draw a conclusion from it?
Well, I think there are two conclusions to draw. One is where hospitals are very low staffed, it is critically important to bring their staffing up. The second is that hospitals that are low staffed, they're bringing their staffing up, may be making other changes which degrade the quality of care in other ways.
Can you tell what those are?
Make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, what would those be?
Well, you can cut back on other staffing. You can cut back on the support staff.
I mean, nurses' assistants.
The nurses' aides. You can cut back on clerks. You can cut back on transport staff. So nurses' workloads are being shifted in other ways and other kinds of things that nurses rely upon to enable them to deliver safe and reliable care are less available.
But do you know if that's happening?
We don't know that. And that's one of the great frustrations about just looking at the rates of change in the outcomes and rates of change in the staffing. There are other things we'd like to know about that we simply can't know. There's some limited evidence that some of the other staffing has gone down, but people have not looked closely enough at that to make definitive conclusions yet.
So what, and I want to remind our listeners that we would like to hear from more of you. We've got a lot of phone calls and a lot of response on Facebook and Twitter, and the more the better, because we want to hear your point of view, especially in Massachusetts. You're going to be hit with the option of signing this ballot question potentially into law. But Jack Needleman, one more question for you. Is it clear right now what the recommended patient to nurse ratio ratio or nurse to patient ratio would be? I mean, do you know from the studies what's optimal?
The studies don't tell us what's optimal. I did a study looking at staffing that fell below hospital established targets at a hospital with very high acuity. I can't mention the name of the hospital, but it looked like Mass General or Brigham and Women's in terms of the patient.
Hang on, you mentioned acuity, which is what?
How sick the patients were and therefore how much nursing they needed. And frankly, that hospital when staffing went below their target but was still above the California staffing ratios, we saw some evidence of degradation of care, some increase in mortality risk for those patients. So hospitals with very, very sick patients are going to have levels of staffing, even on the med-surg units, that are much higher than hospitals that have a less intensively sick patient population. And the regulations and the statutes really need to adjust for that and make sure that the staffing is safe at all institutions, not simply hit an average or a minimum level.
Sharon, to what extent, and again, this is Sharon Gale, Executive Officer of the Organization of Nurse Leaders of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, to what extent is the California experience relevant in your argument against this ballot question or potential question?
Well, first of all, California has had this legislation for many years, and since then, no other state in the nation has implemented nurse staffing ratios.
No, but there are attempts to.
Right, but the proposal has been considered, but repeatedly it's been declined by legislators. And one thing you can, Jack spoke about numbers. I think in Massachusetts, we're so incredibly lucky. We have developed a website with the Mass Hospital Association called Patient Care Link, and you can go on that website, Lisa, and you can see staffing for any unit in any of the hospitals in the state. And this has been going on for 6 years. The transparency and voluntary reporting is first in the nation. It's a groundbreaking effort, and it's transparent, and we're always looking for ways to improve it. I also want to tell you that there, while it's hard to hear about the stories that Lisa said that she had bad staffing in hospitals, there are many, many more stories about how excellent care is and how good patient outcomes are in the state. And patients from all over the nation and the world come here for care. So our hospitals are renowned. Our nurses are outstanding. We need to let them make the decisions in conjunction with their committed leaders to decide what's the best ratio for patient care.
Sharon, how instructive is the California experience for you and the Mass Nurses Association?
It's very, very important because what we have seen is that there are better patient outcomes in California, and there are a number of studies that will support that. I do want to get back to something that Sharon mentioned earlier, and the first thing is that to be very clear, this is not a union issue. This is a patient safety issue. This is important and will affect all patients across the Commonwealth, not just those that are represented in union hospitals. And we do, at the Massachusetts Nurses Association, represent 70% of nurses in acute care hospitals across the state. I also want to touch on the Patients First website, which does give an average of the number of patients assigned to a registered nurse. But again, that is an average. That is not the actual number of nurses to patients. So what I would ask our listeners that are listening to this program today to do is to ask their nurse, how many other patients is your nurse caring for right now?
Yeah. Can you find that out before you go into the hospital?
You can. You
how?
Can. You can ask the hospital how many nurses are on the floor that I'm going to be assigned to and how many nurses will I have available to take care of me.
Jack Needleman, come into this and maybe talk to the listeners who are wondering, okay, if a family member of mine or I have to go into the hospital overnight or longer than that, how do I figure out what the safest hospitals are for me to be in? And would it be, would my main criterion be how many nurses are going to be tending to me?
There are that's certainly one of them. Fundamentally, hospitals exist because of 24-hour nursing care. We do surgery outpatient, we do imaging outpatient, we do all kinds of therapy outpatient. The reason that hospital fundamentally exists is because the patient needs to be cared for and get nursing care 24/7. So that's the critical reason, and you want to make sure the nurse staffing is adequate. And frankly, it shouldn't be a matter of testing whether the staffing at Brigham and Women's or Mount Auburn are better, where it's safer, because frankly, it should be like the underwriter's lab. I go out and buy a toaster oven, I don't have to worry about it electrocuting me. I go into hospital, I shouldn't worry about whether the nurse staffing in the hospital is adequate. That, I think, is the fundamental issue. The question here is how to achieve that. And whether you want to, you know, in the interim, what Sharon suggested was we can look at the website and use that to pick and choose and ask whether the staffing level on average at this hospital has been adequate. The regulation that's proposed, the statute that's proposed, is an effort to mandate that. The question is whether the mandate is flexible enough. The question is whether or not there are other ways to assure that the minimum needed staffing, which may not be the same from shift to shift, is assured and available.
Let's hope that what you said is true, that at one point patients will not have to worry about this at all because it's a matter that nurses and hospitals have worked out. Jack Needleman, professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of California, Los Angeles, thank you. Sharon Gale on the phone with us, executive officer of the Organization of Nurse Leaders of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, thank you. And Donna Kelly Williams, president of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. Nice to talk to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up on Radio Boston, a new book compiles the memories of veterans of the war, which was supposed to end all wars. I'm Lisa Mullins with Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston.